Tonight, on an extra-length episode 50, we're joined by Kurt Vendel to discuss awesome arcades. Plus, the Xbox 360 Prey demo was late, but is it Microsoft's fault? All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show, week of July 2nd, 2006. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Catalarm kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at DragonCon 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
Oh, hello, everybody. How you guys doing? And welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you are joining us live, listening to us here on All Games Radio, you can join us in the chat room by going to chat.allgames.com. That goes into our Java chat applet and goes right into our Java chat room. And later tonight, I'm going to be opening up the Skype lines, both phone line and our Skype line. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, or you can call our toll-free number 1-866-880-0156. That is toll-free here in the United States. If you are listening to the podcast, you can either leave us a voicemail on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show, or you can email us on any topic, blackwolf@allgames.com, and I actually do have some emails that I'll be reading on later. And as always, I want to thank Kropotkin for providing the short UK news segment that runs just before this show goes live, which is available as a podcast feed for those who cannot tune in live. Check it out on his website, kropotkin.co.uk. You can find that link and many others discussed tonight on our website, bobbyblackwolfshow.com. And I have actually put in a bunch of links from the past 49 episodes. We have finally put in all the show notes from the previous shows. They're all up in that database. Hopefully we're going to get it searchable soon, I think. And we're going to link some of those episodes to actual games. So if you go to the game page, you can go there. The new allgames.com site's great, but won't spend too long talking about it because I know that site news is one of the things that most people hate in these gaming shows. But we do have tournaments going on, and we've got a big announcement about tournaments. On this show, we're going to be premiering an announcement, and also later on, we're going to have an audio update from Chris Phillips. ChrisPhil1724 in chat, talking about the other tournaments that we've got running. So check out allgames.com and check out all of our affiliates. And one of the things that I do want to point out, I wrote a four-page text article with pictures based on my visit with the Sony Access vending machine from last week. So go on over to allgames.com and check it out. Our site actually has the link to that as well, so you can just click on episode 49, look at the links, and get to that, and you can actually read my impressions and see pictures of me kicking the machine, because that was fun, and that was requested, and I felt that it needs to be kicked. But the big news that occurred this week, one of the things that actually I wrote a story on All Games, it's about this little Xbox 360 demo called Prey. Now, in a surprising move, Microsoft unleashed the Prey demo to the Xbox 360 masses on Friday afternoon. The demo, which is not available in Japan or Germany, according to MajorNelson.com, weighs in at a hefty 1.17 gigs. Prey, so for those who don't know, it's a first-person shooter centering on Tommy, who is a Cherokee garage mechanic, and he is abducted to a menacing mothership orbiting Earth. Now, the demo, which was originally supposed to be posted on the 360 at the same time as its PC counterpart on June 21st, was delayed for unknown reasons. George Broussard of 3D Realms, whom originally announced the date to the press, stated 45 minutes before the announced launch at midnight on that night, quote, "The 360 demo will not appear on Marketplace tonight. I'm still waiting for specifics, but I'm being told that it's still in testing in Microsoft. From what I understand, this isn't Microsoft's fault and is more likely just an issue of timing. I'm hesitant to give any estimates for a release, but I've been told it should be reasonably soon after the PC release, but it could be as long as a few days," unquote. Now, this brought a lot of hatred to internet message boards and, you know, like anything related to Microsoft or Xbox Live. You know, people were really upset, and all Microsoft ever said was, "We'll let you know the minute we know anything more." In the meantime, though, there was other content that did come out on the marketplace. Like, there's a new Top Spin 2 demo with, like, Wimbledon as the court. So, but this was released on Friday, and actually, if you look in the comment section over at MajorNelson.com, that's where Larry Herb, I think that's how you pronounce his name, I've never met him, he goes by Major Nelson, he says, quote, "Yeah, we broke the normal no new stuff on Friday rule so we could get this to you," unquote. So, it is out, and I've played it. It is Quake with Gravity. And once about 7 or 8 people got into our multiplayer game, it lagged like a mofo. And, I mean, I'm not that great at the game anyway. I did get a few kills. I killed Lawrence Young from All Games Interactive several times. Even, I think, killed Gamer Andy once. He killed me about 6 times. But I got him once. But once that lag kicked in, there was really nothing that I could do. And so I really hope that they're working on that. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about is, you know, the whole... If it's really interesting looking at the internet culture and how they really attacked Major Nelson over this. And one of the things that kind of crossed my mind is, you know, trying to figure out why really it was delayed. And, you know, I don't have like a real explanation. I mean, nobody's really saying why it was delayed. But I noticed that, you know, 3D Realms was pretty quiet and Microsoft was pretty quiet. You know, and everybody was attacking Microsoft for this. And, you know, everybody was on 3D Realm's side and all that stuff. You know, standard internet stuff. You know, I mean, we all know that, like, Microsoft games for the Xbox Live Marketplace, they go through this whole certification process. And, in fact, all Xbox 360 games do. And what I want to say is, you know, what if there was something in that Prey demo that, you know, like some memory leak or something that was in the demo that might not have been in the main code because the game went gold, so it's coming out July 11th. But what if there was something that Microsoft said, no, we can't put this on the marketplace? Now, obviously, if that was the case, Microsoft can't come out and say, yo, 3D Realms messed up on the coding on level 4 or whatever. They can't say that because that would hurt whatever business relationship or whatever. And so if that was the case, then it would really be up to George Broussard and 3D Realms to say, yeah, we messed up. But I think that, you know, 3D Realms was kind of happy that they weren't the target of the hatred like they are with Duke Nukem whenever. And so they were like, oh, they're all going to go attack Microsoft for our problem. We're just not going to say anything. So I don't know if that's the case, but that might be something to think about when you're, you know, ostracizing somebody like Major Nelson or Microsoft, if, you know, because they're not going to say if something failed certification. You can ask them straight out, and they're like, we don't give out that information. We can't tell you that. So, you know, all I'm saying is, you know, maybe cut Microsoft a little slack on this one. And I do know that there's some people, we actually got one email that was very upset about this situation at Microsoft, even after the demo came out. And we'll be reading his email a little bit later on. So a couple people in chat have also played it because it was a free demo. Interlogic says, the frame rate is spotty in both single player and multiplayer, at least for me. The PC version had a much better frame rate and less lag. All Games User 567 says that Major Nelson needs to stop acting like he is hands-on until something goes wrong. Then he is like, I just post what I'm told. T27 Duck says that if the demo is that big, he's referring to 1.17 gigs, the real game better be the best thing since the control pad. Seymour Booty says that he liked the demo. And Funnydale says that it's a demo, it's not that big of a deal to be flaming anyone. GK128 says that Prey is equal to Snore, because it was better when it was called Doom 3, but still a snooze. Prey does have the gravity thing where you can walk up the walls and walk on the ceiling, and then you can jump off the ceiling, and that will make you go to the floor. There was stuff like that going on, and that was kind of an interesting gameplay element, and I still never really got used to it. And one of the other things is going into astral form, which is kind of reminds me a little bit of Geist, but you have this little arrow. You can shoot arrows at other people when you're in this astral form, which you stay in astral form until your real body gets hit with something. You know, it was just funny to go through and, you know, see Black Wolf has arrowed Gamer Andy, and I thought of Strong Bad. Clef5 says that he doesn't get why the demo for the 360 is over a gig and the one for the PC is less than 500 megs. I guess the thing that I got about that is the PC demo compressed? because I don't think that the Xbox 360 demos are compressed. It's not like, you know, once you download the Xbox 360 demo, you can play it. You don't have to unpack it or, you know, install it or anything. It comes ready to play. So I wonder, you know, is the Prey demo uninstalled over a gig? Gita says that it's Marble Blast with cool guns. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the Skype line. I do know that some people want to talk about things that we aren't going to be talking about on the show tonight, so feel free to call in and talk about anything about gaming. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156 is our toll-free number. So I'm going to go ahead and start on this next story here. Every week, I feel that we must tell you about Sony's stupid comment of the week. Sony's stupid comment of the week comes from Gamma Sutra. Gamma Sutra tells us about their stupid comment. They report that when asked whether PlayStation 3 games will be priced in the same range as Xbox 360 titles, which are currently $59.99 for most high-budget titles, Sony Computer Entertainment America President Kaz Harai suggested that, quote, generally speaking, over the past 12 years or so, there has been a consumer expectation that disc-based games are maybe $59 on the high end and $39 on the low end. So what I can say now is, I think it would be a bit of a stretch to think that we could suddenly turn around and say PS3 games are now $99.99. Unquote. So the price of video games is currently a subject of great debate in the industry, with publishers such as Activision maintaining that a price increase is needed to cover next-generation development costs. Conservatively, many developers feel games are too expensive, as evidence in Gamma Sutra's recent podcast, there's a nice cheap plug for them, featuring Brian Eddy of Midway Games and Bethesda Software's Todd Howard. Harai continued his answer by saying, quote, I don't think consumers expect software pricing to suddenly double, so the quick answer is that we want to make it as affordable as possible, knowing that there is a set consumer expectation for what software has cost for the past 12 years. That's kind of the best answer I can give you. So if it becomes a bit higher than $59, don't ding me. But again, I don't expect it to be $100. So you are going to have games over $60. That's kind of what he's saying right there. There's no way around it. I mean, they're not going to really price games at $60, according to that, because he did say, oh, well, we might go a little bit higher. That was your stupid Sony comment for the week. I have a caller, so I'm going to try to pick up this call. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Yes, hello.
Hello. Who is this?
It's Fritz Gonzalez.
Hey, man, Fritz Gonzalez. Back from the World Cup, right?
Yes, exactly. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good. The first news that I heard is, well, the new price for the DVDs or Blu-rays for the PS3, and they're outrageous. $100.
Really? Now, where did you hear that?
In a webpage. Something about, well, I read it first on IGN,
mm-hmm.
and then some page, but I don't remember. But it's a high price, don't you think?
Well, I mean, $100 for... now, are you saying Blu-ray games or Blu-ray movies?
Blu-ray games, I think. Yeah,
well, see, that we just read the story on that that said that, you know, he doesn't think they're going to be 100, but, you know, they won't be 60.
Okay. Still, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's still... they're probably. I mean, I can see them probably going $70 or $80 U.S.
That's
for
a
games.
Lot.
And that's a lot of money.
Yes. Well, that is not the thing, of course, that I wanted to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
As you said, I just came from Germany to see the World Cup. I went to see the United States,
mm-hmm.
the Netherlands,
mm-hmm.
and Mexico, man.
Yep.
They had a tough month there.
Yeah, yeah. I was. I watched a little bit of it. I've actually never really watched soccer that much
yeah.
before. But I actually sat down and watched some of it this year, and, you know, sucks that the U.S. couldn't do as well as they did in 2002.
That's right. And I had a chance to get into a video game store down there in Germany, uh-huh. and most of the games were in English, so I basically had not any problems. But what I saw, they had like more than 3 or 4 games about soccer or football. It's not like the United States where you only have like 2.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge, huge market for soccer games out in Europe. I mean, that's always been the case. They always get the championship manager games, which may usually never make it over here. So
I know. And
yeah.
And another thing that I heard there, it's the game Winning 11. It won't be Winning 11 anymore.
Right. Well, now, what is it going to be?
It's Pro Evolution Winning 11, the same name for both the continents.
No, actually, what we saw, I was doing some stuff on our site about it, and it's the title that they're telling us is it's Winning 11 Pro Evolution Soccer 2007.
Exactly. They cut off the number
right
as well because it was supposed to be Winning 11-10, and the thing that surprised me is not confirmed for the PS3.
Yeah, I think we have it down for the PS3, but I don't, you know, I haven't looked to see if it's confirmed. I think the reason they went with the year is because Pro Evolution Soccer was supposed to go into number 6. And so it was like Winning 11-10, Pro Evolution 6. They just, screw it, give the year.
That's right. Well, that's all I wanted to tell you. I know you have a busy show.
Yep.
It's going to be a long time, and we have elections here in Mexico.
Yep. So thanks for calling in, man. Glad
you
had fun
care.
In Germany.
Take
care. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. You can call into the show and talk about anything that we have been talking about. Yeah, I mean, you know, the World Cup, I feel bad because if you listen to Kropotkin's UK News Report, he actually spends a minute mourning their stunning loss to Portugal because they kicked better at the end. And actually, I kind of forgot to tell you, this is an extra-length episode, and I hinted at this in the teaser, but we have a... this is going to be a longer episode, because at 9 o'clock Eastern tonight here on All Games Radio, we're bringing back an old friend of ours, Kurt Vendel. He is the man behind Awesome Arcades. We interviewed him before when he was doing the Atari Flashback 2, which is a TV game, but it actually had the Atari 2600 on the chip, and you could use actual Atari 2600... controllers in the unit, and if you were handy with the soldering iron, you could actually put a cartridge slot on it. And we talked about that, and he's got this new venture. It's called Awesome Arcades. We're going to talk all about it later. And you can go to their website, awecades.com, awcades.com. And people in chat need to have your questions ready. I will be reading questions from chat. We will not be taking calls during the interview because I just don't have the setup for that, but I will be taking chat questions and reading them on the air. And we're going to talk more about that later as 9 o'clock comes closer. So for those of you with a PSP and you haven't upgraded to 2.7 yet because you really don't care about the LocoRoco demo, which is a shame, PSP Updates has reported that there is now a downgrader for versions 2.5 and 2.6 of the PSP firmware, so you can downgrade to 1.5. This was done by Sonic's team, S-O-N-Y-X-T-E-A-M, and they have this is the first working downgrader using the latest exploit that they have found with the, I think it's the GTA bootloader exploit. So this is, as far as I know, this is still beta. It's not actually a final version, so you really do use this at your own risk. And it's kind of a convoluted process, and I'm going to try to break down what the process is. You have to have two people because of copyright laws. You have to have one person who has a 1.5 PSP and one person who has either a 2.5 or a 2.6 PSP. And you also have to make sure that your PSP that you're downgrading is not a TA-082 motherboard. So, and there's PSP Updates. We'll have a link that goes to a webpage that shows this. But anyway, the 1.5 user needs to take a homebrew program and generate some files for you and then send you these files. And since these files are apparently illegal under U.S. copyright laws, I guess the whole DMCA thing, you're not allowed to just like post them on a webpage, or they actually don't want you to post it on their forums. So get somebody who has a 1.5 PSP to generate these files and send them to you. Then you need to go into the GTA eLoader, Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories, and reference that directory that 1.5 person sent you. And so there's like 7 steps for the 1.5 user and 9 steps for you. So you can try that if you really want to go down to 1.5. It won't work on 2.7 or 2.71, which is what's latest right now. But PSP Updates will have the link on there. And, you know, Interlogic says he would rather go with a mod chip so you can have custom firmware and the newest Sony firmware. So there's a mod chip that is now out that you can put into your PSP if you want to go the soldering route. T27 Duck says, so in other words, don't bother until they get a better method, right? Well, Sony is actually really trying to, you know, close any loophole Actually, I have a caller now. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, man, it's Seymour.
Hey, Seymour Booty from the chat room. What's on your mind, man?
Not too much, man. I just wanted to congratulate you on number 50.
Thank you.
I also wanted to chime in on the Prey demo.
Okay.
Well, I played both versions, the PC and the 360 version.
Right.
I did like the 360 version better, but mostly because my PC is about 2 years old. Mm-hmm. And I got a new monitor about 2 weeks ago, the Gateway 21-inch widescreen.
Yeah.
And it just, I was able to run the game at 1680 by 1050. It just had a little bit of slowdown on the PC version. But, I mean, the controls on the 360 version are just spot on. And yeah. I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't control all that badly. I mean, the only problem I had was really, you know, user error trying to, you know, with the gravity, getting used to being able to walk up walls and walk on the ceiling. And the lag when more people joined. You know, when we had 8 people in the session, it started lagging. And I don't know if that's because our host, which was Gamer Andy, I don't know if his roommate came home and loaded up World of Warcraft and that caused it or not. But once it got a couple people in there, there was some lag. But that was really all the only complaints I had with the demo.
Yeah, I played a little bit of multiplayer, but it was fun. I mean, I'm not sure if I'll buy it or not, but I'll definitely give it a rental.
Yeah, and I think that's what everybody's saying. And the only reason I really tried the demo was because it was hyped so much with all the controversy and all that stuff. I figured I had to check this game out. And it's Quake with gravity.
Yeah, dude, just the fact that there's a game associated with 3D Realms that is actually coming out is just amazing in itself.
And George Broussard still got the release date wrong.
Yeah. Well, man, congratulations on number 50, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, man.
See
you. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. I've actually gotten some callers. This is kind of interesting. Talking a little bit about casual gamers. And, you know, when you think of casual gamers and casual games, you think, oh, they only play, you know, 10, 15 minutes. They play solitaire and at work and hide it, and that's a casual gamer. Nuh-uh. Some of these casual gamers, they're pretty hardcore. Next Generation reports that Macrovision, who's the operator of the Trimedia Network digital distribution platform for PC games, reported that 31% of casual gamers on its TriGames site play for more than 2 hours per session, and 37% of those observed play 9 sessions per week. The results seem to shatter preconceptions about the quick bursts of gameplay mindset that the industry has assumed regarding casual gamers. Our survey has determined that mainstream audiences dedicate a substantial amount of time to gameplay, not just in 15-minute increments as previously thought. That was a quote from Lauren Hilberg, Executive VP and General Manager of Commerce at Macrovision. Furthermore, 2/3 of the 789 study participants said that their gameplay sessions typically last at least an hour, and nearly 3/4 usually play at night. Over half play on the weekends. So, you know, there are, and I mean, some of these games, they'll suck you in for hours. You know, some of these, quote, casual games, which is kind of funny when some people will sit there and say, you know, casual games, they're not real games. You know, I've actually seen people say, oh, people who write casual games, they're not really in the gaming industry. They're in some other industry. I don't consider them game programmers because they write casual games. People, you know, they're games. Sorry. And one other, you know, kind of related story on this is something that we reported here on All Games. Gita reported on this, that in a study done by Parks Associates, a firm that focuses on research for the digital and home networking markets, this new research illustrates how women are the dominant force behind mobile gaming. In the mobile aspect, females represent 61% of mobile phone gamers who play from 1 to 4 hours per month, and 58% of mobile phone gamers who play over 4 hours a month. Parks Associates also states, quote, these findings concur with the overall demographic makeup of internet gamers, where women are the majority due to their penchant for online trivia and card games, unquote. Now, this study, which is titled Electronic Gaming in the Digital Home, covers several aspects of the gaming market. It surveyed 2,000 U.S. gamers with internet access. The results of this study should be taken into perspective, however. According to the ESA's Fact About Gamers, 42% of online gamers are women, and about 38% of all gamers are women. John Barrett, who's the director of research at Parks Associates, had the following to say, quote, Women are the foundation of the gaming market, and as an industry, we need to cater to their preferences. This effort is key to future revenue growth because right now, women generally spend little time on gaming, spent little money on gaming, even though they like to play games and often have disposable income. The industry just needs to find a way, a game that they will pay for, unquote. So T27 Duck says, so playing mobile games will score you chicks. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, that doesn't seem the point. Kadosho is what that's, says that. Satan Banana says, playing mobile games should get you beat with a death stick. Now, I mean, when we say mobile gaming, you know, would you count the DS or a PSP as a mobile gaming device? Because it's mobile. I mean, it's not a phone, but it's mobile. And hey, if the DS gets VoIP software, then what makes the DS different than a Nokia phone? We have a caller. Let me get this call. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Blackwolf, what's up? This is Gita.
Hey, man. Wow, you got two people called at the same time, but what's up, man?
Oh, I'm sorry. I can hang up if you want.
No. What's on your mind?
Okay, you just called to wish you a happy 50th, dude.
Oh, thank you, man.
Yeah, so, like, pretty soon you'll get a retirement and everything, huh?
I wish. I have a 401k that I want the money that's in.
You can take those authorized pills and everything. You'll be all set.
Yeah. So what games have you been playing recently? Gita is one of the people that writes news on our site. So what games have you been playing recently?
Actually, I have been playing some of the Prey demo on both PC and the 360, and my impressions of the 360 version, other than the fact that, you know, can't really aim that well with it, it seems like typically the same game. There are some effects that aren't coming as clear, and there are some scenes that do kind of lag out on the 360 version, which kind of surprised me, because from what we've read and heard about the hardware, it seems like it should be the exact opposite. Isn't the 360 supposed to have the better hardware?
Well, I mean, it really depends. I mean, the 360 probably has better hardware, but it's different hardware than the PC, so I don't know.
Yeah, but shouldn't it be easier to develop for the 360 as opposed to the PC?
It would be easier to develop for the 360, but were they creating it on the PC first and are porting it to the 360? That's the question.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It was just shocking to me that I would get worse performance off of the 360 than off of the PC.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not horrible. It's just slightly under.
I hope that the full game, which has already gone gold, I hope they've, you know, addressed some of these issues. If not, the Xbox 360 can patch games.
It's true.
Which is a whole other ball of wax or bag of chips or whatever that we'll get into some other night. Anyway, anything else, man?
No, just look forward to the last 15 years of working and enjoy your retirement.
Thank you very much, man.
Bye.
This is great. I should have, like, celebrate my 50th episode every week if I'm getting this many calls. This is kind of cool. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Kadosha, by the way.
So what's going on, man? What's on your mind?
Not much. Just, it's the summer, you know? Mm-hmm. The summer of games, right. Sales, stuff to buy.
So what are you looking forward to?
To be honest? Actually, the new Sonic that's coming out for the 360 and the PS3.
I wouldn't be.
Well, I probably...
I've played the Sonic on the PS3.
And how was it?
It sucked.
Oh.
It was the worst game that I had seen on the PS3.
Why? How come?
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, you got your little controller, right? And I'm hearing a little bit of an echo of myself. You might want to turn down your speakers just a little bit. But you go left just a tad on the controller, and Sonic just flies off the side. He just makes a sharp left turn. The controls were horrible. It was very, very difficult to control Sonic. It was not as difficult to control him on the 360, though, but the PS3 version was practically unplayable.
I can understand that, but if it's horrible, you know what that means. It could take, let's see, maybe a couple more months if, you know, how it sounds.
Yeah.
I mean, I was looking everywhere to see if there was a release date, and nothing. It says fall, right?
Well, I mean, the PS3 is not going to be out in the fall, so, I mean, Yeah, the 360, I don't know when that one's coming out. That one seemed a little bit better than the PS3 version.
Yeah. I've just been so curious about it. It's like, is there any news about it? Is there anything? Nothing.
Totally quiet. Yeah, I mean, it was there at E3, and that's pretty much the last thing that we heard.
Yeah, I haven't really been keeping up on a lot because it's just now my summer break from Job Corps, and I'm like, what? Oh, I got to catch up on everything, and it's driving me crazy. And the first thing I look up, you know, about, you know, of course, all games, OLHQ, it's just everything's changed, different. And I'm reading the news update about, like, you know, what's been delayed. I just feel like, well, gee, wasn't that like a couple months ago? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to see that many new games really come out until, I mean, it's the holiday season, so everybody's kind of gearing up for the holiday season, so we're still talking about the same games that we were talking about 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, Final Fantasy XII this week finally got its U.S. release date for Halloween weekend, you know, and that game came out in Japan in March.
And we haven't seen it since sometime.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was at E3, but, I mean, we're still talking about when is it going to get released in America, which is what we were talking about in March, and they finally gave a release date this week. So it's really just gearing up to the holiday season. That's what the entire year is for.
But don't you love it when in E3 they egg us on and saying, oh, this is coming out soon, 2 years from now?
I'd rather see something come out when it's done than see a buggy game come out this year.
By the way, I read earlier in chat about Prey and how big the file size is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of curious what internally the 360 can do, as is it really like maybe compression itself? You never know. What do you think, Bobby?
Well, I mean, it's probably got, you know, compressed binaries and stuff like that. I mean, that's all in there, but it really depends on how they code the game as to what type of compression's really in it. But what I was kind of saying earlier about, you know, Xbox 360 versus PC, the download is bigger because you don't have to install and uncompress a 360 demo like you have to install and uncompress a PC demo.
Exactly.
Yep.
It works out both ways, and it makes it easier on the user because they don't have to worry about going through hours and hours of getting this part done, that part done, and sections. It's just set up, you're good.
Unless you're playing Final Fantasy XI on the 360, that one takes about 4 hours to install.
I heard some of my friends go through torture. It was not a good sign.
Yeah, I went through the beta. It took me about 6 hours to install the beta.
Oh, so. Gosh. I don't know how you deal with it somehow, but you just want to enjoy it now. Pay $50, let me get to my game, leave me alone. Let me enjoy it. But, I think I'll just leave it at that and let your show roll on, okay?
Okay. Thanks for your call, man.
All right, talk to you later.
Take care.
Bye.
Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156 is our toll-free number, but everybody's actually been using Skype. We've been getting a lot of Skype calls tonight, so we have another call. This is great. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Yes, is this Bobby Blackwolf himself?
Why, yes it is.
Yay, I'm on episode 50 of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, yay!
For those who don't know who this is Hendrix, one half of the amazing game review team here on All Games Radio, Kropotkin and Hendrix.
I think amazing might be stretching it.
So what's on your mind, man? What have you been playing?
What have I been playing? I've been playing Bankshot 2, I've been playing Over G Fighters, and the Prey demo.
So how is Over G Fighters? I mean, I've been seeing you play that, and all it says is single play, so it doesn't really give me that much info when I spy on you.
It's kind of somewhere between Ace Combat and a full-fledged flight sim, and it can be extremely frustrating at times. But if you know, for anybody that's into flight sims, it's a cool game.
Now, do you get to rotate the controller around? Because that's what the PS3 can do. That's the next generation.
Well, you can rotate the controller around when the missions get really frustrating and you chuck it across the room. Although it doesn't help you fly the plane.
Can you fly over Africa?
Yes.
Africa.
There are Africa missions, actually.
Oh, really? Because you know Africa is the next big next-gen title. It's all about Africa with a K.
Yes.
It was a K.
Yes. I really didn't have much point to the call other than to say congratulations on show number 50.
Well, thank you. I really need to do episode 50 more often.
Well, next week, episode 51.
Okay. The first anniversary of the episode 50. How about
there
that?
There you go. There you go.
Anyway, what are you guys reviewing this week?
This week it is New Super Mario Brothers.
And we are actually going to be playing that before Orange Lounge Radio. We broadcast them on Monday at 10 p.m., but since they only sent us one part, we're actually going to air the review show at 10 p.m. on Monday. 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. You can hear someone from America and someone from the U.K. talk about the same game.
Yes.
It's great. Thanks so much for calling in, man.
All right.
Take care.
See ya.
And I was worried that I wasn't going to have enough content to fill the first hour of the show. So anyway, Bobby Blackwell's show on Skype. 1-866-880-0156. Bandit says that was spectacular. So let's talk a little bit about some legal stuff, because I haven't talked about the legal stuff in a while here. Reuters reports that Take-Two Interactive Software said on Monday that it received grand jury subpoenas requesting documents related to the hidden sex scenes in its Grand Theft Auto San Andreas video game, as well as its acquisitions, accounting, and other issues, sending shares down 13%. The company said that on June 19th, it received grand jury subpoenas issued by New York County's district attorney requesting documents from various periods beginning on October 1st, 2001. Among other things, the subpoena specifically requested documents related to company officers' and directors' knowledge about the creation and inclusion of the sex scene, which came to be known as Hot Coffee, imagine that, and could only be accessed with a downloaded program from the internet or some game chart codes. Upon the discovery of the scene last summer, the industry's rating board slapped a restrictive adults-only rating on the best-selling game, and retailers pulled it from shelves, costing the game maker millions of dollars and spawning a variety of lawsuits. Take-Two said it has not been advised that it or any specific individual is presently a target of the investigation. It said it is fully cooperating in providing the requested documents. Yeah, it's great. You know, Hot Coffee is still going on. 50 episodes ago, we were talking about Hot Coffee. It was the first topic on this show. And people are still talking about it. This is not news anymore, guys. They've released Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories. San Andreas was so... the last game. That's not even the new game. But that's not the end of Rockstar's troubles. Can you dig it? Rockstar can't dig it. Take-Two can't dig it, because Gamma Sutra reports that following news of that grand jury subpoena, Rockstar Games and owners Take-Two Interactive have become involved in another legal battle, this time over royalties from the video game adaptation of the movie The Warriors. Roger Hill, who played gang leader Cyrus in the original 1979 movie, has filed a suit demanding $250,000 in a court order barring the use of his likeness, according to a New York Daily News report. The suit maintains that Take-Two and Rockstar have generated at least $37 million in revenue from the game. Hill, who currently works at a library at a Manhattan business college, further claims that Rockstar attempted to involve him in the creation of the game, offering to pay for the use of his name and voice, but he declined. The character of Cyrus is killed at the beginning of the game, which acts as a catalyst for the events of both the game and movie from which it is based. As reported by the Daily News, a Take-Two spokesman has commented that the company, quote, has a valid third-party license for the rights to use Roger Hill's likeness and the character of Cyrus in the Warriors video game and related marketing materials, unquote. And then they added, can you dig it? And 2K Sports Fan asks, how much lawsuits can Take-Two take? People are going to keep firing them at him until they're gone. Satan Banana wants to know, does he yell, can you dig it, in his library? And Bandit says, yes, he can. So maybe you should go over to the Manhattan Business College Library and just yell, can you dig it? Because I don't think he can dig it. He doesn't want Rockstar to dig it. He wants some of that digging. He should have accepted the offer. Or maybe, you know, I wonder if he actually felt this was calculated. I'll deny them now and then sue them later and get more money or something like that. And one last legal brief here. And it doesn't involve Take-Two, but it involves Atari and Australia. Gamma Sutra has reported that according to a posting at the Australian Office of Film and Literature Classification, the entity has refused to give official classification to Eidos' upcoming Atari Australia distributed video game version of Reservoir Dogs, meaning that the game cannot be sold in stores. The game's application for classification was filed by Atari, the game's publisher in Australia, but it appears that the application failed to comply with the country's classification guidelines, which are G, PG, M, and MA15+. Since the content was apparently too extreme to do so. However, the official OFLC explanation of the reason for the banning is yet to be posted on the government institution's website. A report on the APC website notes that when asked if Atari planned to resubmit an amended version of the game for reclassification, PR and promotions manager David Wildgoose replied, quote, "That's the end of the matter," unquote. Due to the game's unclassified status, the decision made it illegal to sell or rent the game in Australia. The announcement is particularly notable because Reservoir Dogs is not likely to be released until at least September, according to many release lists, so it seems likely that Atari filed a beta version for classification ahead of time to avoid the recent troubles it ran into with Mark Echo's Getting Up Contents Under Pressure, which was refused classifications 3 days before its worldwide release. But the movie Reservoir Dogs, it's okay. You can buy that in Australia. It has the MA18+ rating in Australia, which does not exist for games. You cannot get the MA18+ rating for games. But you can get it for movies. And Reservoir Dogs, the movie, complete with cutting off the ear, singing happy tunes, you know, and people arguing over being Mr. Pink. That movie's fine. Put it as a video game. Make them polygonal. Make them not real life characters, not make them not real actors. Suddenly, you can't play that. You can't have that in Australia. Go figure. Seymour Booty says, Australia banned Manhunt too, so it makes you wonder if they're banning these games because they're violent or banning them because they're just terrible games. I still find it funny that Australia almost, they wanted to ban, get this, Project Gotham Racing 2. Because one of the cities you can drive in Project Gotham 2 was Sydney. And they felt it was too realistic and would convince young people to drive like that on Sydney streets because it was too close to reality. And Satan Banana says that Australia should ban crappy games. And Gita actually does point out that Interactive makes them eviler. So, you know, they're only slightly evil in movie form, but make them polygonal and let you be able to control them? That's evil. Now, does DVD chapter remotes and, you know, going through the chapters on my DVD remote, does that make the movie interactive? Because I can go back and watch him cut the ear off over and over again. Not like, not that I want to, but yeah. T27 Duck says that he's counting down the days until the U.S. turns into Australia that bans stuff left and right. And KK90 says that if they could afford a car like those in PGR2, then they can afford to drive how they want. Well, PGR2 actually has the Mini Cooper and some other slow cars in the Class E area. Mini Cooper usually is the mouse in the Cat and Mouse. We were talking about that earlier today because Cat and Mouse was my favorite mode in Project Gotham 2, and I haven't actually played it in Project Gotham 3 yet, but they're actually going to make it an official mode in the update sometime this month. And since we're going to be talking to Kurt Vendel of Awesome Arcades tonight on the show, I want to talk about that the arcade may be coming back. Gamma Sutra actually had a feature article this week about the resurrection of the arcade by Sega. In an exclusive interview for them, GameWorks' Clint Manny reveals parent company Sega's plan for the U.S. arcade chain, including network arcade gaming between multiple locations as part of plans to revitalize the American arcade experience. Manny discusses what Sega Sammy, which took over sole ownership of the GameWorks arcade chain last year, is planning, commenting, quote, "If you're familiar with House of the Dead 4 and the graphics that are a part of that, it's now starting to be back to having an appeal, starting to see some of that impact back on the arcade side, where you can't play it in front of a 52-inch screen and have all that very vibrant color and animation that's part of it. You just can't do that at home. Then the socialization of what those game brings as more and more games, such as Derby Owners Club a few years ago, where it's a social environment and you're playing a horse racing game and you're sitting there and you can have cocktails and food and really get into this game. It's bringing that social environment back, social entertainment environment back to the users. What we've questioned is recognizing how to create those games in a social environment, in a social setting, whether it be for kids, teens, adults, and offer them something where it's a constant changing of the programming that's available," unquote. So I'm, you know, kind of, there's a lot more stuff in that article. That was just the snippet. But they talk about bringing some of the Japanese arcade games over here. And I think that the whole reason that the arcade started dying in the U.S. is because the home experience became just as good and sometimes better than the arcades. The graphics were just as good or better. You know, you can't go to the arcade in your underwear and, you know, eating chips off your chest playing Halo 2, according to Weird Al Yankovic. So what they need to do is give some type of experience that will bring people to the arcade. And, you know, that's why Dance Dance Revolution has made an impact in the American arcades, because for a long time you couldn't do that at home. And you don't have the social aspect of showing off your moves while, you know, holding on to the bar and, you know, trying to play those 10, 11 footers for everybody else and having them go, wow, you know, and that just, you couldn't do that at home. But you could play Soul Calibur at home just as well. T27 Duck does point out that one of the reasons that arcades are kind of dying out is that they're just too expensive. $1 per game is just a little bit high for me. GK128 is bringing up Dave and Buster's, how they are Nazis. He invokes Godwin's Law. Says that you have to be 21 to even get in to eat or be with someone who is 21. So, but this is GameWorks, and I don't even know if I have a GameWorks near me. I don't know if there is one here in Atlanta. Funnydale says the main reason why arcades died are because arcade games were getting too expensive to the point where small arcade operators were not making a profit. And that's, you know, that's why you don't see the small arcades in the malls anymore. Really, the only arcades you see are the ones that are either attached to movie theaters or attached to restaurants. You know, that's what Dave & Buster's is. It's a restaurant that has arcade machines. I mean, Dave & Buster's is a restaurant and a bar, and that's where they probably make most of their money. It's, you know, the Midway, which is what they call the arcade. That's probably not what they make a good bit of their money on. T27 Duck does point out that thanks to the Xbox 360 camera, you will be able to show off your moves in your underwear. And so I'm going to read some of these emails that I got, because we're getting almost to the halfway point of the show. And I want to thank all of our callers. I really wish we had that many callers on a normal night. So I've been really enjoying this tonight. But anyway, we do have some two emails. This first one is from Troy. He says, hello, Bobby Blackwell. First-time listener, first-time emailer. Well, I'm getting tired of this major pain-in-the-ass Nelson guy. He goes around using the word we, more than Nintendo, such as saying, we are making great things, and we are making great improvements, and we have great things coming to the live arcade. Yet when asked about any of this, all of a sudden it is no longer we, it's, I have nothing to do with that. I just read the blogs like you guys, so don't get onto me. Here, have a Major Nelson headset. And so what I think is what a lot of people are kind of upset about with Major Nelson, it's one of those things, and the people that are usually upset about this have never worked in a large corporation. Larry Herb, who's I've never met the man. I've actually emailed him on several occasions and never gotten a response. He works at Microsoft, and he works on the Xbox team. I don't know exactly where he works on the Xbox team. I'm not sure exactly what he works on. But he talks to the teams that do Xbox Live Arcade. And so what he has a site, MajorNelson.com, and he actually, whenever any new marketplace content comes out, he puts it on the blog. And a lot of people are expecting him to have all of the answers and expecting him to be the person that is the one that everybody talks to. You know, he's should be the point man, when he's not. He just happens to be the guy with the blog that sits down the hall from the people that are working on Xbox Live Arcade. And some people just, if you've ever worked in a large company, and people who are older that are in our chat room that have worked for a large company will tell you that this is absolutely true. There's a lot of times the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. That happens a lot in large corporations. It doesn't matter what industry they're in. That's what happens. And so what's probably going on is, you know, people are saying, well, you know, they're asking Major Nelson about backwards compatibility, and he doesn't say anything. It might be because he doesn't know. He might not. I don't know if he works on backwards compatibility or not. But, you know, he doesn't know what that team's doing, and he really doesn't know what the Xbox Live Arcade team is doing until they're done. And so everybody's thinking that he is, you know, Satan, and he is the banana of Satan, which means he's in our chat room, and, you know, think that he should have all the answers and give out all of the answers. But maybe he doesn't, you know, and so it's, I don't know what the solution to this is. You know, he's got a job to do, and I don't know exactly what that job is. I just know it's not Xbox Live Arcade. And, you know, he kind of does this on the side because the fans would like it. And apparently he's getting a lot of flack for it. And for those wondering, I did not get one of the Major Nelson headsets that was given out on Gamer Andy Live on Thursday night when Major Nelson was on All Games Radio. And T27 Duck says that Major Nelson does not equal Microsoft, but people need someone to yell at. And that's pretty much what they did. And Interlogic makes the crack, so really, you only need your right hand in the end. And Flavia says, I think he's just taking it too personally. Why not just ignore the idiots and keep doing what he's doing? That's what he's doing. That's exactly what he's doing. He's like, you know what? You know, he basically does say, you know, this isn't world hunger. You know, this isn't anything, you know, this isn't the end of the world, you know, but he agrees that it comes with the territory. And one other email I got from Jeremy. He said, hey, Bobby, what's up? Sorry, I can't send this as a voicemail. My voice is kind of scratchy right now, but yeah. Just to clarify, the max size for an Xbox Live Arcade title is 50 megabytes. Okay, I had said 64 megabytes, but it's got to be 50 because I guess the memory card isn't a full 64 megabytes. And then he says, no, it's time to move on to the fact that downloading full games is so far in the future. Bobby Kotick is a complete moron. Bobby Kotick is the Activision CEO who said that digital distribution isn't a factor right now and won't be for a very long time. Has he never heard of Steam or, for that matter, anything by Valve? I just got Half-Life 2 off of Steam, and I'm loving it. Another thing that I want to say is a bit shadier. Has the fool ever heard of BitTorrent? Seriously, man, this man is an idiot. I'm going to admit to downloading a few games off of BitTorrent, and I know that there are others out there, but it's just ridiculous that someone would say that digital distribution is so far in the future. Steam, Direct to Drive, and BitTorrent are all examples of why this man is an idiot. That's all I have to say for now. Peace out, Bobby. The comments of Jeremy do not necessarily reflect the thoughts and opinions of All Games Productions, The Bobby Blackwell Show, AllGames.com, Your Mother, yada, yada, yada. Saint Banana says that Activision only knows what Tony Hawk is. I want to, we're almost getting to the midpoint of the show, and we're going to take a quick break while I get Kurt Vendel from Awesome Arcades on the line, but I want to make an announcement, and Chrisville 1724, this means get ready with the button. We were talking about tournaments earlier here on All Games, and I have decided that I wanted to host a tournament here on allgames.com, so I unveil now the Bobby Blackwolf Partner Uno Challenge. That is right. The Bobby Blackwolf Show is sponsoring an official tournament based on Uno for Xbox Live Arcade. It's going to be a team-based tournament. These are the rules. The game mode is going to be a Partner Uno game. We're going to be using the standard deck. The scoring type is going to be traditional. Now, we're going to go to a game score of 1,000 rather than the default 250. So it's going to be a long game. We're going to have the standard penalties. None of this, you know, sending over draw twos until somebody doesn't have a draw two. The draw type is draw one in play, so you're not going to have to draw 80 cards if you don't have something. Forced play is on. Bluffing is on. Calling Uno is on. And a rule that we're putting in is for table talk. Basically, what we ask is that people need to speak in the main game chat channel. We really don't want people making a private chat with their partner across the table. Use code words. Use something, do you know, but the other people at the table should be able to hear what you're saying. So if you're using code words, then they need to be able to hear the code words. They may not know what it means, but, you know, we don't want people to be chatting just with their partner. Now, each member of the winning team will get their choice of one of the two following soundtracks. Destroy All Humans, which features music from Gary Scheiman, Junkie XL, Meat Beat Manifesto, Timo Moss, Static Revenger, Ursula 1000, and more, Jade Empire, with music by Jack Wall, Cameo Elements of Power, with music by Steve Burke, and Perfect Dark Zero, with music by David Kleinick. So, you know, each person can say which soundtrack they want, and I'll send that team a soundtrack. Now, Team Black Wolf is in this tournament. I am in this tournament. My partner is Hendrix. And we're already registered in the tournament. So, I just want to say that, you know, we're not going to be cheating. You know, we may get knocked out of the first round. That's cool. The winner of the tournament is who gets the prizes, not the team that knocks Hendrix and I off. So if we get knocked out in the first round, the people who beat us in the first round still have to finish the entire tournament to win these prizes. So it's being linked in chat and... What you need to do, though, if you go to allgames.com, click on tournaments, and you will see the Bobby Blackwolf Partner Uno Challenge, and you can get your team together and sign up. I want to have the first round starting this Friday, if at all possible, because I am going on a business trip the week after, and I would like to play my first round match that weekend, if at all possible. Uno, for these game soundtracks. All the information is listed on there. If you have any questions about it, email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, and we'll talk about that. And you will be able to hear yourself on the weekly All Games Tournament Update, which is aired on Fridays on All Games Interactive. But we're going to also air this past week's right here because I needed to take an extra long break to get our call together. And so you will hear updates throughout the week on All Games Radio and All Games Interactive on this tournament. It's the Bobby Black Wolf Partner Uno Challenge. So we're going to be taking a quick break. We're going to have some music playing, as well as the first thing here is Chris Phillips' All Games Tournament Update, while we get Kurt Vendel from Awesome Arcades on the line to talk about his latest project. You're listening to the Bobby Black Wolf Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
Chris Phillips with your All Games Tournament Update. AllGames.com has named its first tournament champion. SRV Jr. defeated AGN in the finals of the MLB 2K6 tournament 1-0. AGN won his way into the finals after defeating SimPilot in the semifinals 21-1. The game was decided when Manny Ramirez in the second inning crashed into the outfield wall, essentially paralyzing the outfielder and allowing SRV Jr. to score the winning run. We caught up with SRV Jr. after the game to get his reactions on the finals.
Well, I went into the game knowing that it was going to be a tough pitching matchup. The only reason why I did score was because of Manny Ramirez running face first into the wall and turning himself into Jell-O for a minute. Kind of felt bad for doing it because I knew he went down, but at the same time, against a player of, you know, AGN's caliber, you got to take what you can get. I wasn't hitting anything because he was striking me out left and right. I mean, it looked like an old replay of a Nolan Ryan performance. But he was killing me left and right, just striking me out. I mean, I looked like a 5-year-old up there just swatting flies. It was nasty. And it really depends on whether or not you know your opponent. Like I was saying before, the first guy I played, I knew him. So I knew I could go up the swings of the fences and get chances. Later on in the game, he knew that he couldn't throw as many strikes to me. So what I did was I just started slapping the ball in, stealing bases from people that I could. You know, just playing small ball, trying to knock people in, you know, just earning my runs. But luckily, with the team that I chose with the Mets, you've got the big four in the middle. You've got, you know, Delgado, Beltran, Wright, Floyd. All four of those guys can put it over the fence at any time. But against Scott or AGN, you can't do that. He doesn't throw typical strikes. They don't hit the strike zone, but they're close enough for you to wave at. If it hadn't been for AGN's choice of Windy as the gameplay, he would have won 2-1. Because David Ortiz lit into one in the seventh inning. And for a second, I was like, oh, God, here we go. It was flirting with the left center field wall, and the wind pushed it back in, and Floyd ran it down. And I swear, I thought I was going to fall out of my chair right then. I thought I was going to have a heart attack, because he got all of it. I mean, it was nasty. It made me about freak out. So, but it was a great game.
That was SRV Jr. Congratulations to him on winning the MLB 2K6 tournament, and thanks to all of you who participated in the tournament. Moving on to the table tennis tournament, T-Town Clown defeated Blur 930 7-1, 7-0, 7-1 to move on to the finals of the table tennis tournament. He will take on the winner of Bobby Black Wolf and Napoleon 21. That game has yet to be played. The bodies continue to hit the mat in the Fight Night tournament. The middleweight champion of the world, Chilpill 365, defeated Chrisville 1724 in a middleweight fight in a second-round knockout. Brett Falco defeated Blunted in the fourth round of their middleweight fight. He will move on to take on Chilpill 365 in a light heavyweight fight in the semifinals. Black LP beat up on Hendricks in their quarterfinal matchup, only to lose in the semifinals to Captain Jesus in a second-round knockout. Captain Jesus advances onto the finals, while he'll take on either Brett Falco or Chilpill 365. And finally, the first round matchups of the Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter Tournament are set. Clan Platoon will be taking on Team AGN Assassins, Team US Navy SEALs will be taking on Team 1996, Team OCGM will be taking on Clan Killa Season, and Team All Games will be taking on Team DOA Army. This has been your All Games Tournament Update, week of June 26, 2006. For more information on these or any other tournaments, log on to allgames.com.
Hey, Bobby, this is K-Dog96. Just wanted to wish you all the best on your 50th. Congratulations, and for some reason I cannot get into the chat room, but all the best to you, man. Take it easy.
Hi, this is Sky,
Loki,
Dark Sakura,
with Orange Lounge Radio,
All Games Affiliate.
And you're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show, Sunday nights on allgames.com.
Hello and welcome back to episode 50 of the Bobby Blackwolf Show here on All Games Radio online at allgames.com. And as luck would have it, the rest of the show went great. Apparently, Kurt is not available. I actually spent about 20 minutes. The break actually was about 20 minutes long for the live listeners. The podcasters listeners were actually cutting out most of it. But unfortunately, he wasn't available. I got his answering machine, left a message, called back about every 2 minutes because I think he works out of the home, so he just wasn't in there. But he did say that he usually has some family stuff on Sunday nights, and so I'm not going to hold it against him. We'll still talk to him. I'm going to explain what the product is. So if you have any questions that you wanted him to answer on the air, you can let me know. The Awesome Arcade. Now, it's awcades.com, AWECADES.com. The Awcade AC601 Arcade Center offers a brand new twist to the arcade experience with new school styling, a 21-inch CRT monitor, stereo speakers, control panel utilizing the same high-quality arcade joysticks and buttons, and classic arcade sounds built right in to complete the mega arcade feel. The Awcade is a stylish homage to the classic video arcade machines of the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. Yet completely compromised of 21st century technology. There is no coin slot, as the machine is designed strictly for home game rooms. It comes complete with over 80 all-time fun-filled video game classics from companies such as Atari, Midway, and Digital Leisure, which are built right into the machine. Additionally, Awesome Arcades has obtained an exclusive license from Exidy for 19 titles, including several light gun games such as Mousetrap, Crossbow, and Venture. Now, some of the games they have a whole bunch of Atari games, a whole bunch of Midway games. They also have Dragon Slayer 1 and 2 and Space Ace on there. And essentially what it looks like from the machine, this is not like a JAMA cabinet or anything like that. This is it's got a PC in it. It's like a MAME cabinet, but it runs its own like arcade emulator OS. This is all stuff I wanted to ask him about and get some clarification on. But it runs its own OS, and it has these game packs. And so, I don't know if they're expandable, if they do run MAME, if you do have your own collection, if you can put them on this cabinet. But it's a very nice-looking cabinet. It has the light gun attachment. You can put a trackball on it and all that other nice stuff. So hopefully I will have him. I'll do a pre-recording of the interview, and we will play it at a later time. But awcades.com, AWECADES.com. And we'll try to get him on the show a little bit later on so we can talk to him. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out tonight. But we had a great show, and I want to thank everybody for participating this week. And, it is a holiday weekend, so if you are going to go, if you are in the United States and you're going to be celebrating this Tuesday, please be careful. Don't let the explosives go in your direction, make them go in the other direction. All Games Interactive with Scott Rubin and Lawrence Young will be live from Wednesday through Friday night from the Arena Interactive Lounge in West Los Angeles at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio online at allgames.com. We will be back next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio at allgames.com, so catch us live and interact with the show directly. Feel free to leave a voicemail with us on any topic or leave a bumper for use on our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com. You can join our official forums at allgames.com to take part in our community. And please go join our Uno tournament that we have for Xbox Live Arcade. However, we could not make this show work without the help of the live chatters. Gita, Hendrix, Necobun, Burning Paper Sun, Bird, D5T, Drunk Pandas, Fifth Dream, GK128, Rare, Stone Raider, Sub-Z, Wyland, Alt, RFX, Bacon Bits, Chrisville 1724, Cedabria, Crispy, Flavius, Funnydale, Soul Brother Rule, Ichiban, Interlogic, Kadosho, K-Dog 96, Kazan, Loserly, Mecha, Mikar, Nitro 2985, OSU Fan, Sato, Satan Banana, Seymour Booty, Supist, TDB30, Tedekin, Tigerclaw, True, Twinson, VX Jason XV, Wilcon, Bandit, and Zane. Once again, I wanted to thank everybody for listening for episode 50. Join the Uno Tournament. We will have Kurt Vendel on at a future time for Awesome Arcades. Have a happy 4th. See you next week.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.